Greetings of love and peace to you all in Jesus' name. Thankful to be here this morning. Bless you all. Welcome to the service here. The blessed name. You know, we hear that often, the name of Jesus, but it is the name above every name. And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is truly Lord. So my mind has gone a lot of ways here this morning. Bless you, brothers, for sharing the word to us. To not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by Christ, renewing the mind, keeping our relationship with the Lord current, and removing our citizenship from this world to the heavenly kingdom country. God will not force us. We choose, then we bear the consequences. Very good. Thank you for that. My son, it's a blessing to hear that again. Directed to us as children. It says further in verse 5 there in chapter 3, or Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Some beautiful proverbs there. Our own selfish heart causes a lot of issues, doesn't it? Our own selfish heart causes a lot of issues. Well, I feel I got in a little above my head, which is this case often. Which in this case doesn't take much, especially when it comes to God things. This is not one of those instances. How does or how can a mortal talk or explain or put in words, put in human vocabulary, things of the immortal? How can a human being explain to another of what or who God, the sovereign, the infinite, the eternal, self-existing one, the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, holy, the almighty God, how can we tell another who He is? We have to revert back to human verbiage and use terms as in like unto, likenesses. You know, it's not really this, but something like that, and trying to explain something that is beyond our comprehension. And it's interesting, if you go somewhere to visit with your family, how different things stick out to different people, because they're viewing it from a different perspective, from a different angle, and you come back with a fuller picture of what actually happened that day. That's why the Gospel of Luke is a beautiful Gospel, as he drew his information from multiple sources, from those that were present. He himself might not have been, but he drew it from others that were. And so he got a fuller picture, seemingly, of what the Gospel of Jesus Christ was. And so we can get that too in the multitude, or a multiple, when there are multiple views, or even in the brotherhood. You know, we go around the brotherhood and on a certain issue or discussion, and we get multiple things from multiple views, from different angles that we see things from. That's beautiful. And we see that in Scripture here in a little bit. So we'll struggle a little bit this morning to get a real picture of what I'm trying to portray. You know, you've had those times when the Lord, you know, you feel the Lord showed you something, and then you try to put it in words, and you can't quite really put it in words, and you struggle to find words that really truly explain what you're trying to say. And I feel that way now also. Pray for me that I speak with clarity. So if I would tell you, I saw the Lord. And if I would come to you and as individuals, I might get a different response from you all. Some of you would maybe just be quiet and wait for me to explain or speak what I saw. Others may start questioning me out. All right. I mean, what did you see? I mean, yeah, right. You saw the Lord. Others may get all excited and say, I want to hear about what you saw. I want to hear every detail. I want to write it down, what you saw. Tell me what you saw. I'd like to have that as a title this morning. I saw the Lord. This happened to some different men of the Bible, and we'll look at a few this morning. We can turn to Isaiah chapter 6. We'll use this as our text, although we'll be looking at a number of other verses or portions of the scripture and different characters in this. But there's three things we want to look at here this morning. Isaiah, and using some other characters also, what did he see? That's one. Number two, what did it do, or what was his response or their responses? Then the third one we want to look at, have we seen the Lord, or what has our response been to the Lord when we saw the Lord, or when we had that vision or experience with the Lord? So with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we come to you in Jesus' name here this morning at the beginning of this next session. Father, we pray that you would witness to our hearts. And as we read your word, as we read portions of scripture here about the different characters that you have drawn to and how you witness to them and how you open their eyes, they may see, and you give them visions and understanding. And how you witnessed to their hearts, and you gave them courage when they truly would going to need it, and to do the work that you had called them to. Father, we pray, Lord, that through this, that we would speak to our hearts, and that we can apply them presently in our lives. Lord, we know you have something in here for us, and help us to understand what that is. And help us to draw each one of us a little bit closer to your precious bleeding side. That the fire of God, as the Lord is a consuming fire, and we get that it would ignite our hearts and burn. And burn the chaff that may still be within our hearts. That we could serve you more perfectly and be a better witness for you in this age of time that you've placed us in. Father, that our light could shine a little bit more clear, that the globe that is around our lamp, Lord, that would be cleansed and the light could shine a little bit more brighter. Father, the testimony of godliness would go forth in this place. From us as individuals, Lord, and you've called us as a brotherhood, as a congregation, as the ecclesia, if you will, to minister grace, not only to each other, for the perfecting of the saints, but also as we extend to the souls of men the eternal consequences, and also helping them to come in contact with an eternal God. That there might be true life lived here on earth. And the life of God would be manifest in this place. That the kingdom here on earth would be like as that is in heaven. We can minister as a heavenly kingdom here on earth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have in Isaiah, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 8 in chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Note that. Isaiah is saying, I saw also the Lord, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am, send me. We'll take verse 9 along with it. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See indeed, but perceive not. I saw the Lord. What did he see? We'll come back to here. We'll go to Ezekiel. And I would like to look at it and read some verses there in Ezekiel. Then we'll also go to Revelations. And we'll get a picture. So here it says, Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. So we want to try to pull back the curtain just a little bit to see what this really looked like. The throne room of God. So Ezekiel got a glimpse of it. And John the Revelator got a glimpse of it, and we want to see what they saw, just to help us to understand what Isaiah was talking about. Isaiah has a few things, but there's also some more things in Ezekiel and John the Revelator. Ezekiel chapter 1, we could read the whole chapter, but we're going to read verses 26 through 28, halfway through 28. So, here's Ezekiel. He was there by the river Kedar, and he had this vision. And he says what he saw about the different beasts, okay? So that's the first part of the chapter, first portion mostly of the chapter. But then on 26, it says, Above the firmament that was above their heads was the likeness of a throne. So we have a throne here that Ezekiel get a glimpse of. Was the likeness of a throne. So here we are already. Ezekiel's stumbling for words. He's trying to explain to who he's writing to. What did he see? Likeness. It was something. It wasn't maybe like. It wasn't this, but it was like unto. So he's already grasping for words and trying to explain what he saw. But maybe we can imagine what he saw. likeness of a throne, as the appearance of sapphire stone. I want to define some of these just as we go, just to give us a little picture. Sapphire, okay, the appearance of sapphire was a sky blue of purest sort. So imagine with me on a clear summer day when the sky, there's no cloud in the sky, and the sky is a purest azure blue. Clearer than that, if you can imagine that. There's no humidity in the air. It's clear. And you look up and gaze, and just gaze in the blue. As the appearance of sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw the color of amber. Amber. It's like a compounding of silver and gold, polished brass, it says, as the appearance of fire round about within it. From the appearance of his loins even upward. Remember, there's a throne, appearance of man, with all this glorious color. Brightness, fire. Appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. And it had brightness round about. So we have that picture in our mind. As the appearance, verse 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. When we see that rainbow in the sky, maybe it's a clear double. Maybe it's a clear double rainbow. It's just bright. It just glows in the eastern sky or western sky. I've seen them on both sides, and just brilliance coming out from the throne. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. Notice the appearance of fire, the brightness and the glow, the majesty. We can only imagine. This was the appearance of the likeness, the glory of the Lord. Stop there. So can we imagine? Can we imagine this? God enabled Ezekiel. First of all, he gave the vision of the four beasts coming out of the water. They've seen all that. But the throne, the majesty of one sitting on it. We'll come back to Ezekiel, also Isaiah, but let's go to Revelations 4. What did he see? We're still talking about what did he see. He said, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. And notice again the verbiage, the appearance of, the likeness of, the like unto verbiage that we see. The writer's writing with. Verse 1. Just read through here. To maybe 11. Verse 1. Chapter 4. Revelations. And this I looked, and behold, a door is open in heaven. Remember, we're pulling back the curtain. We're opening the door just a little bit. We're getting a picture of what Isaiah may have seen. As it were, and I heard, let's be back up here, open the door of heaven, okay, we have the door open. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. And my understanding is that, where's John? John Roberts. That's a trumpet that you blow? Is a trumpet that you've blown? I have yet to hear that. I want to hear that sometime. But here's a as it were a trumpet talking to me, which said, "Come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven. So here we have that throne again. Was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So we're looking from the doorway. The door is opened, and we're looking inside. There's a throne in there, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper. Now, okay, so we just read Ezekiel. We got his description of the throne room. Now we're getting maybe a different perspective, some things that stood out to John the Revelator. Of, I can only imagine they was looking at the same throne, and so was Isaiah, that God revealed these things to them. But notice how the different hues that stood out to them. This gives a beautiful picture of people looking at the same thing with a different perspective. And there's nothing wrong with that. So we get more of a rounded view, a little bit more of a rounded view of what this could look like. So we have jasper. So here, they both said about a rainbow, which is further down here. But jasper is a gem of various colors. So it's like your prism. Various colors. So if you look at a jasper, there evidently there's different colors, hues that a jasper stone can be. A gem of various colors, prism. So this is what John saw. Like a jasper and a sardine stone. So sardine is a gem of blood red color. Okay, so to John, the overriding thing in the presence of God was the blood red color. He noticed that. And for Ezekiel, it seemed like he's seen the blue. I'm not saying anything with that. Just noticing the different verbiage that it uses here. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And an emerald is a glowing stone like a live coal. And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. We're still imagining this. We got the door open. The curtain's folded back and we're looking at the throne. And there's this beautiful glow coming forth. This brightness that we can't even put in words how it looks like. And there's lightnings, there's thunderings, there's a shaking going on. The doorpost in Isaiah said, in Ezekiel, that the doorposts move. It's in Isaiah. The doorposts are moving. And you're there looking at this thing, and there's energy, there's pulsating, there's fire, there's God. And there are seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And this description of these beasts are similar to the one that Ezekiel saw. And the first beast was like unto the lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as of man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and the Lord there is Adonai. But then when the angels are crying, Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, this is Jehovah. And Isaiah responds in that way too. I have seen the King. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Jehovah of hosts. Jehovah is a scripture name of a supreme being, as is supposed. The word denotes the permanent being. In a primary sense, in all languages, it is said to be fixed, to stand, to remain, or abide. Think of Jehovah, definition of Jehovah. To be fixed, to stand, and to remain or abide. This is very appropriate as we think of the eternal God, the unchangeable God, who describes himself thus. When he says, I am that I am, when he came to Moses, tell him that I am, has sent you. In Leviticus 24, chapter 24, verse 16, you have the account of a man that was cursing God. And he was stoned because evidently he was using God's name in vain somehow. It doesn't give all the definitions there. But so that was very important to the Israelite people. That's why we find the response that we do when Jesus said, tell them, or before Abraham was, I am. There was no doubt in the Jewish minds of what he was talking about. There was no doubt there. That's why they went out to stone him. Jehovah. So basically Jesus was saying, I am Jehovah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, is the Jehovah of hosts, is the God of hosts, is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's what Isaiah was seeing. He was seeing these seraphims crying to one another, holy, holy, holy. So Isaiah saw the Lord on his throne, awesome and glorious. What else did he see? Verse 2, above it stood the seraphims. What's a seraphim? What are seraphims? The definition of seraphims is burning ones or fiery ones. Burning ones or fiery ones. Angels, holy angels, angels in the presence of God. What are they doing? They're crying and they're flying in God's presence, crying, holy, holy, holy. They have six wings, three sets. One set cover the face as a token of humility. The second set cover their feet, token of respect. And with the third set, they did fly. Holy angels. Burning angels, fiery ones. Why? Because they were in God's presence. We can look at the beasts from Ezekiel and John, Revelations. The four beasts where they cry day and night, nonstop, in God's presence, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." Sometimes I think we are so earthly minded, we have a hard time taking our gaze upward and even imagining something like this. Is this picture so far beyond us that we have a hard time placing ourselves, even with this verbiage, to be able to pull back the curtain and see God? We're so consumed with the here and now. So how does the throne of our God look in comparison? We must take a fresh look at the Lord of glory, where these beasts are crying day and night, "Holy, holy, holy." I fear we don't realize or really know the definition of holy. Can we imagine just for a little bit this morning of this awe-filled presence throne room? Do things in this life, when we do that, do things in this life really grow a little bit dimmer? I saw the Lord in His temple. So, what must our response be? So we understand a little bit what Isaiah saw. Now we want to look at what did this view in the throne room do, and what was these people's response. There's three things we want to take a look at here briefly. Undoneness. What was Isaiah's first response when he saw that? When the post of the door moved, the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke, there was a holy presence there. The fire of God was in that place. He's seen the throne room of God. So, woe is me. I can't imagine that Isaiah was a sinner. I would say he was a holy prophet of God. But he's there before the throne room. He sees the throne room. This vision is revealed to him. He says, "Woe is me." I can only imagine he didn't feel very clean right at that moment when he's seeing the awesome purity and holiness of God. "I'm undone," he says, "because I'm a man of unclean lips, dwell in the midst of unclean people." "For mine eyes have seen the King." A godly person before a holy God will see first his own need. Then he will associate himself with his people. We see that in Moses, when God told him, "Moses, this is a stiff-necked, this is a rebellious people. Stand back, I'll annihilate them, and I'll make you a great nation." Moses was godly enough that he didn't just step aside, "All right, go ahead. I mean, I can't do nothing with him." No. He didn't. He associates himself with his people. "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the Lord." I'm one of them. I'm part of this. A godly person before a holy God sees first his own need. Those burning ones, seraphims, in God's presence, this is what happens to men when they come before God's presence. And this is what will happen with you and I when we come close to God's presence. We will also burn. Joshua chapter 5. Read a couple verses here. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn and in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the Lord am I come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? So we do see the response. We'll come back to this here. See the response Joshua had. He fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. Ezekiel 1:28. We had read that. We're reading about his response. The response after they got in the presence of God, after they see their own need. We'll just read verse 28. As the appearance of bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face and heard a voice of one that spake. So there's a consistency here. Joshua, when he realized he was in the presence of the Lord, fell on his face. Ezekiel, when he seen the vision that he had, he fell on his face. John, Revelations chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. You know, that real summer day when the sun is just bright and it's just beating. Maybe a better picture is when there's a fresh covering of snow just everywhere, and it's glittering, and that sun is just is a clear day, and that sun is just is shining down, and everything is just glary, glowy, bright. The sun shineth in his strength, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That was John's response. Daniel's response was, Daniel 8, verse 16 and 17, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. So in God's presence, I don't care how holy the individual is, there's going to be an unworthiness, an undoneness that's going to be experienced. The holiness of God burned within. I believe that's why those seraphims are called burning ones or fiery ones. When they are in God's presence, they can't help but burn hot because of the Spirit of the Holy One. And so will it be to anyone that comes before God or draws closer to Him. It will burn sin out of our lives. We will see how undone we really are. Isaiah, the holy prophet of God. Joshua, God's man. John, the beloved. Ezekiel, God's watchman, could not stand in God's presence. When they come before God's throne, they fell. Their holiness could not stand the awful presence of our God. And when they came near, it burned the draughts right out of them. There was no questions what had happened. They were struck with humility, brokenness, undoneness, without strength, as dead. Joshua, when that man came before him with a drawn sword, Joshua was ready to fight. Another man. When we just view another man for who he is that blood in us, we are ready to fight. But when he realized that this was the captain of the Lord of hosts, there was a different response. He fell down. And I wonder if that's not the way we are. To men, we are ready to fight. And we fail to see the Lord wants to work a marvelous work in our lives. But all we can see is another man. We can't even see the Lord. We are blinded by our own self-righteousness and then left in our sin. The Lord could do no big miracle, save heal a few sick folks. You'll find that in Mark. Oh, what sorrow for that to take place in our lives. Burning ones, seraphims, they have a purpose in God's presence. Messengers, readiness, instant service, constant holiness, forever burning with the zeal of God. There were thunderings and lightnings and voices. Then in Isaiah, the post of the door moved. The voice of him that cried, the house was filled with smoke. It's no wonder these men fell on their faces dead at his presence. That was the first response, undoneness. The second thing was worship. Joshua 5:14. And he said, "Nay, but as a captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Just drawing this out of here. We read that verse. There's worship in God's presence. You have the four beasts. You have the 24 elders. There's thousands upon thousands, 10,000 upon 10,000 of angels crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb." Revelation 5:11-14. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I say, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. There's no way that you and I as we see these pictures of God's throne, will be or are able to truly worship God with sin in our hearts. And remember, you and I's sin doesn't just affect us, it affects all those around us. So that's the second one. The third one is the third response when coming in the Lord's presence is a willingness to obey or serve. Not waiting to be called, but like Isaiah, here I am, send me. Here again, we want to look at a few responses from the men of God. Read the last portion of Joshua 5:14. And he said, "Nay, but the captain, as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come?" And Joshua fell on his face in the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" God got their attention. They responded. Okay, now he's got their attention. Now he can give him instruction. For Joshua it was, "This is what I want you to do with Jericho." He laid out the plan. Isaiah, here in chapter 6, is trying to get Isaiah's attention. Folds back the curtain, shows him the throne room. "Here I am, send me." "Go tell your people." Paul, on the way to Damascus, "Who are you, Lord?" "What will thou have me to do?" "Go bear my name to the Gentiles." Ezekiel, again, gave him a vision, pulled back the curtain, showed him glorious things. "Ezekiel, I want you to go to Israel. It's a rebellious nation. Whether they listen or whether they don't, go and tell them. They may not hear you. I want you to go anyway." These men had some hard things that they had to do. Imagine with me for a moment. Israel, it was a rebellious nation. And the things that God called Ezekiel to do, it says, wow. The things that Isaiah did, the things that Paul went through, were not easy. The things that Joshua had to lead his people through were not easy. So God knew that a glimpse of his throne would be enough. This is a trademark to God's people, their willingness to obey God's word. So these are some of the responses of when the men of God received a peek in the throne room and how they responded. The third part here, and then we want to close with this too, is have we seen the Lord? And what has our response been? Maybe our experience hasn't been so dramatic with the Lord. You know, I don't know. Maybe sometimes we could be intimidated by somebody's flowery testimony or dramatic experience with the Lord. But maybe our experience hasn't been so dramatic with the Lord. But I trust we can relate a little bit. Maybe we haven't literally seen the door open and the curtain pulled back and seeing the throne room. Maybe we haven't experienced like Ezekiel and John and some of these people. Maybe we've not experienced that. But by the Word of God, we can get a glimpse by imagining, and along with our own experience with the Lord. We all name the name of Christ and should have a Peniel in our lives. Where we wrestled with God, and God put a stamp upon our lives. For Jacob, it was a limp. We know that the closer our experience is with God, the hotter the burning. Did you notice in Ezekiel and Revelations where it states the fire multiple times? There in the presence of God, things are hot. Seriously. Can we look at our lives? Our spiritual temperature can be taken this way. You know, we have scripture terminology as cold, as lukewarm, as hot. So, you know, we could draw a thermometer up here. Cold, lukewarm, hot, seraphims, burning ones. Consider this in the context of business life, church life, family life. What is our focus and time spent doing, thinking about? Brethren, I'm not exempt from this message. We are going to answer to a holy God. We will give an account. Question: how easily do I talk about other people? Have we seen the Lord? What has our response been? Where is my money being spent? What do I spend or waste my time upon? What is the conversation starter of my life when I go up to someone? What comes out? If and when the Lord revealed Himself or spoke to us, was our response, "Here am I, send me"? What will Thou have me to do? Or, "What saith my Lord to His servant?" Or is it, "You know, I really don't have time for that. You know, I don't have any money to send or give to that." I'm serving self, and I will not become a servant to any. Or no one will tell me what to do is what our attitude might be. If we find ourselves drifting away, we must repent. Today is the day. Please harden not your heart. This includes everyone here. No one is exempt. We could all stand, and this will be the case all our lives. We could all stand to get a little closer to the burning ones of God, that the sin in our lives would be burned up and we would see our undoneness before a holy God. How will God's message of love and reconciliation go out? How will the gospel of redemption be heard? Can the book be written by our lives here at BCF? What will the message be? So together as one, can we draw in a little bit closer to the throne room where there is eternal life and God-like energy just pulsating? Where God dwells, where Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Think of the songwriter that writes, Lord, I've been too busy. I've been pushing you aside. And I let the cares of daily life put out the fire that once burned bright. I see how small my world has been, with no room for others' needs. But Lord, it's my desire to go where your Spirit leads. Make my life as kindling to set the world on fire. I saw the Lord. What did Isaiah, Ezekiel, John, and Paul see? Paul said he knows a man that was in the third heaven about 14 years ago. How did he say it? I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. What did you see, Paul? So what did they see? We read in these different scriptures what they saw and what their responses were, falling down. Question for us. What is our responses then? As we come in the Lord's presence, have we slighted someone with a cutting word? Have I put my things before God's things? Just some questions for us to ponder in this context. Have we wronged someone? These things are sin and we must repent. Talked about someone behind their back. Mocked. Have I stolen from God resources, time, attention? You know, this is hunting season. Is it easy to get up to go hunting? Is that pretty easy? Get up early in the morning, go hunting. Get up before break of dawn and be out there in tree stand before. What about devotion/prayer time? Are we robbing God of His time? What about lustful thoughts consuming our minds? Focused on temporal and not on eternal souls. Appreciating or valuing my brothers. I was just thinking about this morning. Thinking of you as individual brothers and the blessings you've been to my life and my life and where I would be without your input. And if there's a brother, I would think if there's a brother here that as we go through the list, there's a brother that I'm struggling with or challenged to say something good to or about, I think my heart's wrong. As needful as it was for Isaiah to see the Lord, so it is for us. I think of the two men on the road to Emmaus. Their response was, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" May that be the case as we draw closer to God. May our hearts truly burn. And fire begets fire. And may we be that for each other here. As we draw closer to the throne room of God, may we ignite each other's hearts here. May we seek the Lord in this way. So we have a falling down, recognizing, you know, before the Lord, I saw the Lord. There's a recognition of an undoneness. There's a response to worship. Then a call to service or a willingness to serve. Volunteering. Here am I. Send me. We have to be able to recognize the Lord speaking to us. When we see the Lord, when God speaks to us, let us respond to Him. I wish you God's blessings.